You're listening to Showtime
on URN.
Hello, I'm Ella Vajinska from Showtime, URN's specialist musical theatre show, here with the penultimate review episode of our tie-in theatre podcast, Spotlight On. I can't really believe that we are this close to the end, but do not worry because I'm still here to keep you up to date on all the latest theatre news for just a little while longer. And especially so with this episode because a show has just arrived in Nottingham that I have a lot of thoughts on that I would like to share with you, and that is Greatest Days. As the name suggests, it's a jukebox musical that uses the songs of Take That to tell the story of four women who are best friends as teenagers with a shared love of a particular, yet crucially unnamed boy band, who then 25 years after a tragic event causes them to lose contact, reunite as adults when one of the women, Rachel, wins tickets to see their favourite boy band performing as part of a reunion tour in Athens. It is a show that will take you on an emotional journey, courtesy of Tim Firth's book, and that uses these well-known pop hits from Take That to surprisingly great effect. Back for Good in Act 2 is a particularly standout moment with an emotional gut punch, while sections of The Garden make for a perfect refrain that forces the characters to kind of reevaluate certain aspects of their life. Although, while I'm on the topic of the music, I do also need to say that the arrangement of These Days remains by far my favourite in the entire show, particularly the percussion, and I am still very salty that A, they've never released a cast recording of the stage show so that I could actually listen to that song on repeat, and B, it got cut out of the recent film version completely. Like, I get it, but it does sort of feel like a personal attack at this point because I have spent 6 years obsessing over this beautiful arrangement and I need it in my life more often, please. Now, that 6 years comment is something that I want to talk about in particular because I actually saw the original version of this show back in 2017, 2018, I think it was, when it was called The Band. And I'd followed the TV show Let It Shine before that, where they cast the band themselves. And long story short, I adored the musical. It remains one of the biggest and best pleasant surprises, for want of a better word, because I will admit, I'd gone in kind of expecting your average jukebox musical that maybe would only really appeal to middle-aged women who loved Take That in the 90s. I mean, I was born in 96, so that very much ruled me out of that particular demographic. But actually, the show was so, so much more than that. I basically sobbed my way through it in the best possible way because I was so invested and I leapt to my feet with the biggest smile on my face at the end of the show because I had just loved it so much. To this day, it's one of the shows that I cite when talking about how successful jukebox musicals can be at taking well-known songs and bringing them to the stage in a completely new, refreshing way. But I am not here to talk about The Band. I am here to talk about the reinvented version, Greatest Days, which is in Nottingham this week. And I will admit that I had some issues with it that sadly just led to me not loving it as much as I'd hoped, or that I'd expected to, really. And some of that is to do with me and my personal expectations for the show, but some of it is also to do with the show itself. So I'm going to try and get my thoughts across in as diplomatic a way as possible, because there is definitely good in this production, the cast especially, but there are also places where I'd like the staging and the theatricality of it to be elevated a bit to capture that same feeling as the earlier version that I got to see. And I do realise it's kind of unfair to compare it to that earlier version of the show because they are completely different beasts and have a totally different vibe. Like I said, the band's big selling point was that they'd recruited the lads who were going to play the band through a BBC television show. And so audiences went into the theatre that first time round with a degree of background knowledge about the story and the music, but also with the intention of seeing these people who we'd watched and followed on television. And I'll say at this point that the TV recruitment element worked really well for that version of the musical because it allowed them to build parts of the show around the people that they'd got. You know, Curtis couldn't dance that well, but was an amazing vocalist, while others were just brimming with charismatic performance ability and each band member was able to play to their different strengths. We got a sense of their individual personalities in the way that the show was staged, but there was also this awareness that they'd been through a wholly unique process together, and so by the time they actually got on stage, they were a true group, and you could tell that you were watching a group of mates performing. But even with that, the thing I actually love so much about the first version of this musical, when it was called The Band, wasn't even entirely to do with the band themselves. Like I said, I went into the theatre for the first time thinking it was going to be a show for predominantly middle-aged women who loved Take That in the 90s. And I was really pleasantly surprised to discover that actually it was a really solid, well-written and well-put-together musical in and of itself. That, yes, also happened to appeal to people who loved Take That in the 90s. But it's so important to stress that The Band, as it wasn't ever trying to be the story of Take That. It was a story about female friendship and the joys and struggles of reuniting as wildly different people after years apart, and about learning how to love yourself and your dreams even when your path changes. It just so happened that this group of women were bonded together through their shared love of a boy band from their teenage years, but the inclusion of that boy band on stage was almost as part of the scenery, rather than big neon flashing lights saying, "Hey, look at us, we're a boy band." They were figments of Rachel's imagination that effectively got superimposed over the reality that she was seeing around her. So, you know, they appeared as airport workers and as a statue in a fountain and as passengers on a bus and in a police station. Importantly, they definitely weren't a version of Take That. Now, jump forward 6 years to 2023 and the 30th anniversary of Take That's first UK number one single, Pray. They understandably needed a way to mark the occasion, and so the band undergoes a bit of a rebrand and reappears as Greatest Days, both on stage and in a new movie musical, which you can currently watch on Amazon Prime. And from a marketing perspective, this makes perfect sense. The Band was a clever title if you'd watched the show and knew what it was actually referring to, but Greatest Days instantly links it to Take That and the music that is going to be featured in the show. In fact, it is now literally branded as Greatest Days, the official Take That musical, which I will say seems a little unfair given that there's an older musical called Never Forget, which actually does tell the story of the real life formation of Take That, but that's by the by. Point is, the band is now Greatest Days, and it's now the Take That musical. Which is sort of where my personal issues begin with it. Because The Band was a really impressive musical that just happened to use the music of Take That. Now, as Greatest Days, it's a slightly unwieldy blend of an original Tim Firth book-led musical about a group of friends who reunite as adults, and a Take That tribute concert with the boy band appearing as a full-on boy band every time and doing a lot of big choreographed routines in what is meant to be like a stadium arena. And individually, neither of those things are bad, but for some reason they don't quite gel together here. In a lot of ways, I sort of felt like the musical kept getting in the way of the Take That tribute concert that was happening around it, and I will say that the audience seemed to be wanting to. I know it is a much wider conversation point, but if you are going to brand something as the official Take That musical, you have to accept that you're going to get a lot of audience members turning up purely because they love Take That and want a nice jolly evening singing along to their favourite songs. And that is indeed what you do get, which is a bit annoying at the best of times when you're trying to watch the professional performers on stage, but even more so when the story is actually quite emotional and hard-hitting and the person next to you decides that yes, it is the right time to join in with Back for Good. Now that isn't a problem with this new version of the show in and of itself, and certainly it didn't detract from the fantastic performances by the cast on stage. But it is so indicative of how marketing and branding can affect an audience's expectations and the atmosphere of a particular show. And it also reveals some of the weaker points in the staging itself. Because it all felt a little bit flat. And I hate to say that because I do feel like it had great potential, particularly considering the original version. But this new set design is just this grey sort of staircase with a few bits that move around, and the lighting is quite dark and static, and It all just ended up lacking life and colour and excitement and vibrancy. And that side of things then didn't help with the sense that the musical itself was just getting in the way of a nice old concert-style sing-along, and it just reinforced this dissonance between the two sides of the show. And maybe I'm misremembering the original version, or maybe I'm looking at things through rose-tinted glasses with too much nostalgia, but I have spent 6 years desperately waiting to see this show again and to be reminded of why I loved it so much the first time. And I'm sad that I didn't get that. And like I keep saying, that is a me problem. It is my expectations and my own nostalgia that has ended up detracting from the experience of seeing Greatest Days for me. And I am happy to be in the minority there. I overheard people talking about it on the bus home and they adored it. They liked the fact that they had seen an extremely talented group of lads performing Take That's greatest hits, and that they even got a nice opportunity to sing and dance along at the end of the show. I mean, for fans of Take That, what more could you possibly want? But that does feel indicative of the new version of this show. I think fans of Take That will have a wonderful time, and I think fans of the band will be a bit disappointed. Now, that is not to say that this show doesn't have its own strengths, and I will admit I don't want to spend this entire review comparing it to an earlier show that isn't even accessible anymore. The cast in particular are the crowning glory here and more than deserve the rapturous applause at the end of the show. The younger girls playing the teenage versions of the central characters were phenomenal, each shining in their own way and creating this truly believable friendship that was so endearing to watch on stage. I do particularly need to mention Evangeline Jarvis-Jones, who was on as Debbie when I saw it, because she brought such colour and lust for life and infectious joy to the character. Then each of the women's older counterparts were wonderful too. I really enjoyed Holly Ashton as the overeager parent Zoe. Jennifer Ellison brought a tear to my eye with her version of Rachel that was only surpassed by Jamie Rose Monk as Claire, who had me fully bawling in Act 2 as she described her diving journey. And Karen Holmes semi-stole the show as the grown-up version of Heather, who I will say is always my favourite character, so maybe I'm a bit biased. But Karen played her with warmth and humour and sass, which I loved. While talking about individual performers, I also have to mention Alan Stocks as the true everyman Dave, who, while a relatively small part in the grand scheme of things, never failed to put a smile on my face as he manoeuvred the stage reprising snippets of songs to himself. It's proper theatre comedy, that, and I am here for it. Then, of course, the boy band themselves were predictably excellent too. That's Khalifa Burton, Jamie Corner, Archie Durrant, Reagan Gascoigne and Alexander O'Reilly, and their harmonies, choreography and even acrobatic skills were especially on point. I will admit that for me personally, the way the band were physically used on stage was perhaps one of the most jarring changes compared to the original show, partly because they were suddenly being given the opportunity to do these big choreographed boy band style performances. And, you know, it's genuinely fascinating to consider how that element is what this version of the show was obviously specifically casting for, rather than, like I said earlier, having the opportunity to build the performance around the cast like they did in the band. I will say that that sort of meant we didn't really get to see any of their individual personalities coming through, and the boy band kind of ended up being this homogeneous, shiny block of people that were wheeled out when necessary. But again, that is in no way a comment on the performances of these incredibly talented people, but rather a wider issue that I had with the staging of this particular version of the musical. So all in all, a bit of a mixed bag, which I'm disappointed with. Like I keep stressing, a lot of this is tied to my personal expectations based on seeing the show before, and even without that, this is just my opinion, and you might have a wildly different time seeing the show and think I'm talking nonsense. A lot of people in the audience clearly didn't have the same reaction as me, so really you'll just have to go and see it to find out for yourself. I would love to hear your thoughts if you do, so feel free to drop a comment down below and let me know about your experience seeing Greatest Days. It's on at Nottingham's Theatre Royal until Saturday the 9th of September, and tickets are available via the link in the post here. But on that note, I will say goodbye to you for now. Thank you so much for listening, as things draw to an end here on Spotlight On. But don't forget that I've got one more bonus review coming your way, courtesy of Everybody's Talking About Jamie at the end of the month. So make sure you're following along on Facebook at URN Showtime and on Twitter at Showtime URN, so you stay up to date and never miss a moment. Because, as we say, the showtime must go on. Until then, goodbye.
You're listening to Showtime
on URN.